Isaiah chapter 11. Praise God. I tell you, there's no greater benefit or thrill there is than to preach from this pulpit. And let me tell you, having the freedom to preach what God lays on your heart is so important. I never have to second guess anything that I preach, although I realize that if I preach something off, there's some wonderful folks of God who would lovingly tell me that. But thank you for the freedom that you give. And this morning we want to talk about, actually begin a number of messages talking about the Spirit-filled believer. I know in the spring around Pentecost is usually when we talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but we need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit every day. Our text this morning is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, which reads, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word this morning. Father, we once again humble ourselves and give glory and honor and praise to your holy name. We thank you, God, for your presence in this place. But beyond that, we thank you for your presence in our lives. Truly, your word is spirit and it is life. And so, God, we pray that you would make your word life to us today. Give words to the speaker and give us all understanding as to the truth of the word so that we might have life. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. I praise God that Jesus, after he ascended to the right hand of the Father, asked the Father to send his Holy Spirit, and he did. And just like the love of God never changes, the Holy Spirit never changes, and the way he moves never changes. We read in the book of Acts chapter 2 how after the 120 people, men and women who loved Jesus, who heard his direction to wait in Jerusalem until they received power from on high, after they had prayed earnestly for that, for those 10 days, God's Spirit came down in a very powerful and wonderful way. They were transformed. And of course, when we think of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the one thing that we think the most of, especially as Pentecostals, is they began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit moved upon them. And that was very true, but the Spirit just didn't give them a new language to pray or to praise with. The Holy Spirit, when he filled those men and women in that upper room, changed those men and women and brought them into a whole new reality in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they weren't just people who spoke in other tongues or other languages. Their lives were like the life of Jesus as described in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. This portion of Scripture from Isaiah is speaking about Jesus, but is also speaking about us. Jesus was anointed with the Spirit. Did he need to be? No. Because he was the Son of God, all things were created by him and for him. But when he went down into the water and was baptized and came up again, the Bible says the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove lighted or rested upon him. And then he went to the temple and he opened up the scriptures to that very scripture that I read. Actually, he read another one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel. He read Isaiah, later in the same book, Isaiah. He was anointed, and he wasn't anointed. In fact, the name Christ means anointed one. For his own self, but to demonstrate to us, the church, how we were going to live if we chose to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and receive this second work of grace. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is wonderful. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is a work of God's grace. We can't earn it, but it's something distinct from receiving Christ as your Savior. And this was something that God was saying we would all live under if we accepted Christ as our Savior. And if we opened up our hearts and earnestly seek for that second work of grace, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it would be more than just speaking in other tongues or languages as we pray or worship God. It would be a life marked by Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. A life marked by wisdom. A life marked by understanding. A life marked by counsel. A life marked by power. A life marked by knowledge. And a life marked by, of all things, the fear of the Lord. That we are a Pentecostal church. And you know, one of the things, if I can just say, disturbs me, and I have to admit, there's a lot of things, I don't know what's going on. That's a terrible thing for a pastor to say, but I guess in some Pentecostal churches, or even Assemblies of God churches, they're not emphasizing. In fact, they are to the point of almost, if not neglecting, this very important part of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, this second work of grace, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that's wrong. For one, that's what God's will. Jesus didn't say, hey, if you want, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. I send you forth as lamb among wolves, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be filled with power from on high. It was a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, we're denying ourselves of not only a great blessing, but a necessity in our lives. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to live this life that God has called us to live. Galatians 5:16, I believe, says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And it's not just speaking in tongues. It's all those things. And all those things are necessary for us. They're important for us. They open the door to God's blessing in our lives. Who doesn't want wisdom? Who doesn't need wisdom in their lives? And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit and our lives are marked by wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and fear of the Lord, not only are our lives immensely blessed, we give more honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the wisdom that this is speaking of is not natural wisdom. It's supernatural wisdom. It's divine wisdom. That when people see that, say, this must be God. And so it's important. So we're going to take some time to talk about these qualities. Because if we're Spirit-filled, Our lives need to be more as a spirit-filled people than people who just speak in other tongues or other languages. They need to be marked by these things. And so we're going to look at these qualities, and we're going to look at them in pairs. Now, when we read this, we see that the Word pairs them together. Wisdom's paired with understanding. Counsel's paired with power or might. Knowledge is paired with fear of the Lord. And they should be paired together. But in my study and in my meditation upon this Scripture, and I find this to be so in other portions of Scripture, I'm going to pair these words together, but not as they appear together in Scripture, but from the outward in. Fear and wisdom in Scripture go together. The book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. There is a connection between fear and wisdom. Wisdom is very, very important in living our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's part of, or should be part of, our spirit-filled relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I dare say in studying not only our text this morning, but also other scriptures, wisdom is dependent upon us living and operating in the fear of the Lord. Let's take a look at what the Scripture has to say this morning. Now, as I mentioned a few moments ago, we have a great need in our lives for wisdom. One reason is laid out for us in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Now, the Scripture is talking about wisdom, but it's talking about what God's will is for our lives. And His will isn't that we should just kind of be wandering around this life aimlessly, not knowing where we're going, and not knowing how we're going to get to the place that we don't even know where we're going. A state of confusion. That type of life brings absolutely no honor and glory to God, and it's a terrible, terrible way to live. And God says we don't have to live this way. That we can live a wise life, an understanding life, a life marked by wisdom. And all we have to do is ask. And if we live in wisdom, the Bible promises us great blessing. Proverbs 3, verses 13 and 14. Blessed are those who find wisdom and those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. What is this saying regarding wisdom? It's highly valuable. What do men value in our society today? What is our country revolved all around? Exactly, the almighty dollar. Now I'm not someone who does much trading or speculating, but I know that gold, and it's still up pretty high, but gold has taken a hit. In fact, the Bible talks about how in the end times, famine will be so bad that bread will be more valuable than gold. You know, one of the horsemen of the apocalypse is famine. Gold changes as far as its value, but wisdom never changes. It's a precious commodity that never loses its value. As we mentioned earlier, it leads to a happy and blessed life, it brings the respect of others, and it brings glory and honor to God. But wisdom is something that must be obtained. Because before we know Christ, we may have a wisdom, but we do not have the wisdom. We don't have God's wisdom. Scripture teaches us that wisdom must be learned. If you don't have wisdom, ask of God. And there's several ways that we do that. We become wise by learning the ways of the Lord, learning the leading of the Spirit. And we do that, of course, by studying, knowing the Word of God. The book of Proverbs is a book of wise sayings and teachings from not just a son, a father to a son, our Heavenly Father to us, His children. That's why God inspired them. That's why they're in the Holy Book. We become wise, and this is part of our relationship with God through prayer, but not solely just through prayer. Of course, if we ask for wisdom, we receive wisdom. But by strengthening our relationship with the Holy Spirit. There have been many times in my life I didn't know what I was going to do. I was facing a decision, not sure what to do. Been some Sunday mornings, I didn't know what I was going to preach. This is not one of them. Just had a little brain thing going on there. But God has always been faithful that when I needed direction, when I needed wisdom and guidance, and I opened up my ear to Him, which is key, He gave it to me. So, learning the ways of the Lord, the ways of the Spirit. We also grow in wisdom by observing other believers. That's why it's important we develop relationships with other people in the body of Christ. And you know, I've said this many times, but it should be said again. Every believer must have two relationships in their life. One relationship where they're investing their life in someone else. You all have something to give to other people. And secondly, you need to be in a relationship that can help you grow. Someone who, at least in some areas of their life, is more mature than you are in your life. In fact, a lot of friendships I find with my friends, there might be areas in my life that I'm stronger in, but there's areas in their life that they're stronger in than I am. And so we can encourage and strengthen one another and learn to be wise by looking at how other godly people live. Wisdom is also learned from one of the hardest schoolrooms of the believer, and that is mistake and difficulty. How many enjoyed taking tests while you grow up? There are probably a few, but not many. And just like in the schoolroom, so it is with our relationship with Jesus. We go through tests because that's a tangible way that we learn more about God, His nature, His grace. Some tests just come not because we've done anything bad, but it's just time for us to grow, and so God allows us to go through this valley. Some tests are, you know, how many have ever failed a test and your teacher gave you an opportunity to retake that test? Oh, wow, you had some very gracious teachers. Sometimes we fail, and so God lets us take a retest so that we can learn from it. But from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, a necessary ingredient and what we have to open up our hearts to in this blessed experience of being full of the Holy Spirit is the fear of the Lord. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. This has been a common theme lately in the messages that I've been sharing. Having this as a believer, a sense of awe and terror of God. And so, We have to ask ourselves, and it's important. It's important we have these things. And it's not only important that people observe the fear of the Lord in your life, it's important that you have it in abundance in your heart to live in this Spirit-filled relationship that will cause you to be strong in this world. One reason that is necessary, especially for as it relates to wisdom, is because one of the things, and we all wrestle with things, even after accepting Christ as our Savior, there's still we're working out our salvation, and there's still things that we wrestle with in our lives. And one of the things that we will wrestle with, hopefully to a lesser extent as we grow in God, is embracing and living out God's wisdom in our lives. And there's a reason for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 tells us, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What is that saying about the message of the cross? To the natural mind, it's foolish. Now, there's no greater wisdom than the wisdom that is demonstrated in the cross of Christ. It is the wisdom of God. It is the way God has solved the problem of mankind, which is sin. And to the natural mind, it's foolishness. And the Bible tells us also in the book of Galatians, that the flesh wars against the Spirit. So even though we've been born again, and even though we've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, we still have this potential, and sometimes we have this wrestling with our old nature, in this case, foolishness. Rejecting the wisdom of God and living life under the wisdom of man, the way that we lived before we accepted Christ as our Savior. But fear helps us maintain that hold on wisdom. Even though our flesh is crying out, don't do what God has called you to do. Don't serve that you might leave. If you serve, you cannot leave. If you give up, you cannot receive. Don't do those things. Your flesh cries out against the wisdom of God in your life. But fear will help you to hold on to it. There are several reasons for this. One, we see that the fear of the Lord, and the primary reason is that the fear of the Lord pleases God. And as we live in a place that pleases God, when we live, and I'm not saying we don't love God, and we'll talk about this in a few moments. But when we live, and this should mark our lives if we're Spirit-filled, under the awe and the respect, and one word is even terror, of God, we're living in a place that pleases Him, where His Holy Spirit can dwell. And when His Holy Spirit is alive in us, then God is alive in us. And He's real in us. And let me tell you, think of it this way. Fear and love can coexist. Or I think a better way to put it, you can fear someone and love someone at the same time. And we've all done it with our natural family. Now, in a healthy family, you have the father and you have the children. You have the parents, you have the children. Do those children love their parents? And I'm not talking about a family where, you know, the parents just kind of let their kids run wild. You've seen that. But I'm talking about a healthy where, you know, parents have guidelines and whatnot, and that's very important for a child. Because if they don't learn to abide by guidelines when they're little, they'll have a very, very difficult time doing it when they're older, and they'll be in for a lifetime of heartache in trouble. Parents, you've laid down guidelines, rules, laws, so to speak, for your kids. I'm sure they didn't agree with them all. I'm sure they've broken one or two. And I'm sure they've suffered the consequence for it. But I'm sure they still love you. In fact, it's hard for a child to love their parent if the parent doesn't show them discipline. In fact, if you kind of let your kid do their own thing, they'll end up growing up despising you. I'm not trying to preach on that this morning, but that's very important to understand. You respect that. You respect your parent. You fear your parent, but you still love your parent. And so it is with our relationship with God. And as we talked about 2 weeks ago, when we talked about the joy of the Lord being our strength, and how joy is found in the holiness of God and thus the fear of God, is a great blessing when we live in the fear of the Lord. If it's of the Holy Spirit, then it's good. It does the exact opposite in our lives that the fear of man does. What does the fear of man do? It drives us away from God. We fear what can happen. When we allow the fear, you know, our own fears take over our heart. And listen, our fear is just like anything else. Or our heart's just like anything else in regards to fear. You can either fear God, and if you don't fear God, you're going to fear something. If you don't fear God, you're going to fear man, you're going to fear the world, you're going to, you know, because there's plenty to be fearful about. The dangers that are out there are real and they're present. The situations that the world is going through are very dangerous. The stuff that's going on in your family is very, very precarious. There's a lot to be afraid of. And if you don't have the fear of God, fear will run your life. But when you fear God, it doesn't lead to doubt. You don't run away. You don't give up. It leads to a life of blessing. Listen to the account of Acts chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Great fear seized the whole church. This is, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes also. And all who heard about these events. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. They feared God, and God rewarded their fear with a mighty outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. When we fear God and we allow the Holy Spirit in our relationship with God, we take it farther than just speaking in another language. We allow the fear of God to manifest in our heart. We don't shy away from it. What does it do? It moves us to a place of obedience. Because, you know, what do you think of when you think of wisdom? A lot of people think of a wise person as someone who just speaks out these great pearls. You know, they're like a walking proverb. And we think of Solomon being very wise. But Solomon might have spoken many wise things and was very wise at one time, but he ended his life very foolishly because he didn't do what God called him to do. Let me tell you, the most simple-minded person can be the wisest person, because a wise person isn't deemed wise so much by what he or she says, but rather how they live. There's a lot of people who talk a good game. We were talking about this yesterday in men's breakfast, and there was a word that came up. I won't use that word because it wasn't very nice. It wasn't a swear word. But let me tell you, in the course of serving Jesus, I've met a lot of people that, on the surface, and I hate to even use this, so and God forgive me, but who are spiritual windbags. And what I mean by that, they can tell you all about what it means to serve God, but their life is something wholly different. And they know all the answers, and you can't tell them anything. They may have wise words, but they're a very foolish person because they haven't put wisdom into practice. So how do we allow the Holy Spirit to develop this fear of God in our hearts so that we can maintain wisdom? Well, we need to understand that in addition to being just a manifestation of God's Holy Spirit in us, it's also a learned thing. Psalm 34, verse 11 tells us, "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Let me tell you, anything that the Holy Spirit does in your life, your responsibility is to take that and cultivate it. If it's wisdom, you need to cultivate that. If it's understanding, you need to cultivate that. You can have the Holy Spirit all over you, but if you're not willing to crack open the book and learn the Word of God, if you're not willing, if you just want to, and I'm not despising praise and worship, if you just want to praise God, you don't want to spend any time asking God to open up your mind to what's in God's Word, you'll maintain a state of ignorance in your life. And such it is with the fear of God. We receive that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we should. God is holy. We are not. It should knock us off our feet, but then it needs to be nurtured. And we nurture the fear of God by learning about God. Scripture I just read a few moments ago, Psalm 34:11. "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." You know, you read that and I think to myself, how can you teach fear? I could show you fear. But can fear be taught? And the answer is yes. We learn fear by learning more about the Lord, by learning more about His Word, by asking the Holy Spirit to reveal more through His Word about Himself. Now, you might be saying, well, Pastor Randy, and this goes to what I was saying earlier, shouldn't learning more about the Lord cause us to love God more? And the answer is yes, and it does. And the more I know God, the more I love Him. And does not perfect love cast out fear? And it does. And let me tell you, and I need to fear God more in my life. I'm not saying I've arrived there. But let me tell you things I don't fear. I don't fear death. I don't fear tomorrow. Sometimes I get a little panicked about it, but I don't fear it. I don't fear the future. I don't fear for my family. I don't fear for the church because I know it's in God's hands and He's going to take care of it. But I do fear God. And learning more about God causes me to fear Him more. And you know why? Because it's just grace and all those good things. Well, there's a certain aspect of fear, and it's called respect. Respect is a very important part of fear. And the more I learn about God and the way that He moves on this earth in my life, the more I see the way He moves in this church, in the world, the more I respect Him. How can you see the power and the might of God? You know, someone get healed, or you know, a family be put back together just supernaturally, or other things, and not respect that was God. And let me tell you, I have, and it may not be your experience, but it has been mine. I get a greater appreciation of how deep the forgiveness of God is and how terrible my sin is, the more I get to know God. There have been people I've met that I did not initially respect, but the more I got to know them, the more I got to know their heart, their integrity, their knowledge. That first impression immediately changed, and I began to respect them. And I'm not saying that to my I'm not saying that to my credit. I'm saying that to my shame. And the more I know God, the more I respect and the more I fear Him. So fear must be cultivated and maintained in our life if we're to be people of wisdom, people who are marked by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Because as human beings, we have difficulty maintaining our fear of God. We've all heard the saying, familiarity breeds contempt, and it also happens towards the things of God. We get very casual, and we get very used to, and we take for granted when God does things. When revival's happening in a church, when, you know, speaking of like healing, but revival is so much more than that. It's changed lives. But you can see a lot of people get healed and begin to take healing for granted. And you can be forgiven of a lot of things and then begin to take forgiveness for granted. I won't read it now because I know we're running late, long on time. But I leave with you this morning the example of Ananias and Sapphira. One thing that will stop the moving of God's Holy Spirit in your life cold is losing the fear of God. And that's what happened in their lives. In the book of Acts chapter 5, it was right on the heels of a second outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. God moved by the power of His Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And then they suffered some persecution and things, and they got together and they prayed, and the Bible says they were filled again with the Spirit. It was different from the first time. The first time there was the tongues of fire, and the second time it says the place they were staying was shaken. Boy, that would be an experience. I'd be worried about the foundation. And they spoke the Word of God boldly. So God was really moving. And then the love for one another began to develop and grow deeper, and people were selling things so that the poor would be taken care of. And this couple conspired. They sold land to give to the church, but they kept back part of it for themselves. And not that there was anything wrong with that, but when the Apostle Peter asked them, "Is this how much this land was sold for?" they told a little white lie and said, "Yes, this is, you know, sold it for $500. They actually sold it for $700 and pocketed the $200 for themselves. And they weren't honest about it. They lied about it. And it literally cost Ananias and Sapphira their lives. What happened? Same thing that happens time and time again. When everything's going good, we get familiar with God and the things of God, and we get sloppy. Ananias and Sapphira did something very, very... they sinned, but it was a very foolish thing to do. Can you imagine dying for just telling a little white lie? That just goes to show you what can happen with foolishness. And human nature hasn't changed. It's the same way today. You know, several years ago, there was a great revival in Florida, and I don't want to cast stones or judge anyone, but what was going on down there? You know, minister I respect went down there. He wasn't someone who really followed the evangelist at all, but he said when he went down there, God really met him in a very powerful way. So something good was happening. But in the midst of all the good things happening, the leader of the revival started drinking heavily, and he was involved with an inappropriate relationship with a woman who was not his wife, and it led to divorce and other things. You know, just tragic. And that thing that was going on, so strong and so good, because... And why do people sin? They lose the fear of the Lord, came to a grinding halt. Because God is not a God who will be mocked. And it's easy for us to do the same. To lose that fear of God and just kind of float through life, exploiting the grace of God and causing the moving of God's Holy Spirit, including that divine wisdom to cease in our lives. Folks, if you'd like to come. We need to maintain that fearfulness in our lives. We need to cultivate that if we're going to be people who are wise. And I think there's two ways we do that. I'm going to share the second one first. I don't appreciate my own sinfulness. I don't like it. I don't want it. And I'm far from perfect. But I've come to appreciate my sinfulness when I fail. And I do fail. Because it does two things. Number one, it reminds me of God's abundant grace in my life. When I fail and God's still there and God still uses me, it reminds me just how deep the love and grace and forgiveness of God is. But secondly, when I do that, it reminds me of how desperately I am in need of the power of God's Holy Spirit every day in my life. I'm not saying relish your sin. I'm not saying go out and sin. And maybe you're better than me, but there's probably a few people who aren't. During this week, we'll fail. Don't let your failure keep you down, but let it and use it to kindle the fear of God in your life. God, of course, wants you to know that when you fail, He's still there. His compassions fail not. Anew every morning. Great is His faithfulness. But also, when you do fail, and there's one major reason why I fail, and that's because I'm not dependent upon God as I should be. And I use that failure to propel me to press in deeper and deeper for more and more of God in my life, so that I can get victory over whatever failure that was, and we'll have it in the next challenge that comes down the road. Use what the enemy will try to use for evil towards good. And as we maintain that dependent disposition upon God, God, I need You every day. I'm a weak person without You. God, I need so much of Your Spirit, oh God, to face the challenges. The Holy Spirit, not only grant us wisdom, but give us that essential quality for wisdom and for knowledge, and I think for all the other qualities that are mentioned here. The fear, He'll keep us in that fear or respect of God.